y'all tonight is this, that I've learned
how to depend on Jesus, how to trust in Him.
So glad I've learned
how to depend on Jesus.
Let me ask y'all something. Anybody here learn how to put all your trust in it? Can I take a little time and tell you how I learned to do it? I picked up my Bible and I went to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, round about the 5th and the 6th verse, where it told me to trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways I had to learn to acknowledge Jesus Christ. And I wonder, can I get a witness in this building when I say, won't God step in and direct your path tonight? Can I get a witness in this building? Anybody here learn how to depend on Jesus? Somebody here depending on it. Somebody here learn how to put all your trust in it tonight.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
When Satan approached somebody that's got the fear of God on them, he's very cautious because he don't want you to turn that sword on him. I've heard of stories of demons walking down the street looking for houses to get in and go by some houses. Man, don't go in there. It's full of the Holy Ghost in there. Let's go somewhere where it'll be easier work. Hey, man, hey, they in there praying in the Holy Ghost. They fear God, presence of God there. Hey, don't you see that fire, that circle of fire around there? Don't go over there. Don't you see the glory on that house right there? Man, don't go in there. That house full of light. And you can see them, they'll come sometime peep in the window. And they see you in there in the Holy Ghost praying and praising and worshiping God. And they say, man, let's go on down the street. I remember one time me and Cece, we had in our house that we lived on Benjamin Street. We walk in the house sometimes and there'd be a musky odor in there. I mean a foul odor in one spot in the kitchen. I mean, it smelled like something dead. I said, I don't know what it is. It would be there and then it wouldn't be there. And then one day I was praying in the Holy Ghost and discerning the spirits began to operate and I saw a demon in that spot. And when I saw him, I said, look, you are not welcome here. Don't you ever come back here again. You get out of here right now because the fear of God's on me. I want God's presence in my whole house. God don't want that demon there either because God lived there. I done made my habitation his habitation. So God opened my eyes and said, this is the problem of that bad smell. And you know what? I rebuked that demon. I seen that demon walk out of my house, go down the driveway and head down the street and had 4 or 5 other demons right behind him, little demons. When the Spirit of God's resting upon you, the devil just can't do what he want to do. He can't just slip up on you because there's light on the inside of you. And whenever you approach darkness, then you know. When the Spirit of God is upon you, he's also the Spirit of truth. You can look at a man and tell when he's lying. You know how you know? I sat out there in the foyer with a gentleman the other day that came here that wanted some help. And I listened to both of them. They wasn't married, but they living together. And they came here for some help. And we helped them. They talking about how they wanted to get their life right with God. They come back to church on Wednesday night. And I say, well, get somebody to bring you. I'll pay the gas money when you get here. I'll pay the gas money for them to bring you. And then the guy started talking. And she cried a little bit. He wanted to tear up and stuff. And I'm sitting there and the Lord say, he got a lot of con in him. A lot of con in him. So I listened to him talk for a while, and I looked at him and I said, boy, you got a lot of con in you. He said, Then they looked at each other, and then they both say, how did you know? He said, how you know that about me? You just met me. I said, the Spirit of God told me. I said, but he didn't tell you that to destroy you. He told me to tell you that because you don't have to live that way. You don't have to go through life conning your way through life. God loves you, man. He got a better plan than that. Why don't you get out of that con spirit you're in and really get over in the Holy Ghost? When you fear God, I can't even tell you all the benefits that work. God show you what to do with your money and what not to do. God show you how to be healed and give you an instruction that'll bring healing in your life. It's amazing. Submit to the Lord. Serve the Lord. Make pleasing him the major motivation of your life. And then finally, and this is the big one right here. This is the one that the Lord wanted me to emphasize with you. He said, tell them to spend more time with me. You want to cultivate the fear of the Lord in your life? Then you have to make time for his presence. You have to set aside time to spend with him. Just like you set appointments with people that you want to spend time with and want to get to know better. You set up meetings with them. You plan events with them. You plan to do things together because you're trying to develop a relationship. You have to do the same thing with the Lord. You have to allow God and say, now, Lord, what you want me to do? How do you want me to spend time with you? Lord, my whole schedule is yours. When do you want to see me? Spend time with God, worshiping him, fellowshipping with him, reading, meditating, praying, worshiping him. And then he gave me John 15, 1 through 7. He said, let me read this. I'm the true vine and my Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. There's a purging that takes place in his presence. In other words, those things that you're holding on to that you don't know you're holding on to in the other hand. You got God in one hand and part of the world in the other. When you start spending time with him, he starts unloading. He starts taking things out of your hands. He starts cutting away things in your life that you didn't even know was there. He starts pruning you. He starts taking you through a process of change that may seem a little painful and a little uncomfortable, but it's for your benefit because he's going to get more fruit out of you when he done got rid of the excess baggage. I had a tree in my yard that's not doing good. Parts of the branch is dead, and so I had a tree surgeon come out and look at it, and I say, look, cut off all the dead stuff. He said, man, it ain't going to look good. I said, cut it all off. Everything that ain't living, cut it off. And that's what he did. When I came back there, I got a tree that was out like this. It's like this now. But I didn't do that to hurt the tree. I did that so the tree would be more fruitful. Now, that tree probably went through some shock when he got felt his branches coming off. What they doing to me? Well, I'm cutting away all that stuff that's sapping life out of you that's unproductive. I clipped, I got there clipped high as I could get with a ladder. And I couldn't get all the way to the top, so they brought one of them special trucks out there with a bucket in it and put the man up there. I guess that's how he did it. But he cut that thing down. Cut all that dead stuff off of it. Actually beautified the tree with less. Abide in me, that's fellowship. And I in you, that's fellowship. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, except it abide in the vine, except you stay in fellowship with Jesus, no more can you. Except you abide in me, except you live in me, except you fellowship with me, Jesus said. I am the vine. See, Jesus is the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Don't ever forget, without the Lord, you can't do anything that's pleasing and honorable to God. All you can produce outside of God is nothing. He said, you can do nothing. you can produce nothing without me. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. These are people that used to abide in the Lord, and they lost their fear of God somewhere along the lines. And they begin to wither through their own decision. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They suffer great loss. If you abide in me, this is the benefit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it will be done for you. How would you like to be in a place where you can ask what you want and the Lord say, if that's what you want, you got it. Amen. Amen. Because part of the fear of God, I gave you one of those scriptures, that he fulfills the desire of them that fear him. He fulfills their desire. You can just think about something and God will do it for you. And then sometime he bless you with surprises. Things you wasn't even believing for just show up. You say, Lord, how'd you bless me with this? Well, I just wanted to bless you because you fear me, because you love me, because you set your affection on me. You got to set your affection on the Lord. You spend time with him. The fear of God increases as you fellowship with him and become more and more conscious of the presence of the Lord. The more time you spend in his presence, the greater the level of the fear of God is going to be in your life. Because it's hard to spend time with God and him not start getting involved with you and start speaking to you and showing you things when he starts feeding you and supplying to you what you need and you start seeing the results of your discipline to obey him and to follow him. I'm going to tell you, you don't want to mess that up. Amen. You know how you can have things so good, you say, look, I don't want to mess up a good thing. Oh, man, I can't do that. I'm going to mess up a good thing. I ain't doing that. You know how sometimes if you got a good job and somebody asks you to do something a little on the slide, it's a hey, home. Like if you're working at a restaurant. And you got a good job. You got the favor of God on you. You going high. And one of your cubs come up and say, cubs, can you slip me a bag of French fries? Come on, hey, home. GT, see, when they want something, you always cuz, even if you ain't related. Or you a homeboy, even if you didn't grow up in the same place. That's my homie. Cuz, can you slip me? Hey, can you hook a brother up? Hey, is the hookup in play here? You know what you need to do? When you don't want to mess up a good thing, you say, look, ain't no hookup here. And cuz is when I'm not at work. It ain't no cuz when I'm working. You understand? I ain't going to let you mess up my good thing. You understand? You ain't messing up my good thing. I got a good thing, and I ain't about to let you mess it up. So if you want some fries, show me the money. I can hook you up if you can hook me up with some money. So, see, when you're walking with God and it gets good, see, I'm going to tell you, with the fear of God, the joy comes in, the peace, the Spirit of God begin to rest on you, and you got a good thing going and you know it, and when the devil come and entice you with something, you say, I ain't messing up a good thing. No, do you know how long it took me to get in this place of fellowship with God, and you want me to go do what? Is you crazy? You know, I ask the devil and I say, are you crazy? Devil gonna come with me with something I used to do. I say, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? Are you out of your mind? Get out of here in Jesus' name. I got a good thing going on, and I ain't about to let you mess it up.